Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
I wish I found some better sounds. No, I need a fever. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, right? Yes,
Mike,
Wednesday.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Pump day.
That's right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to it. Stink is off another couple of days. He'll be back on Friday being a big TV star for Fox Sports national TV stuff. James Marilat from DenverFan.com up early this morning sitting in. Thank you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm great, Mike. How are you? Good morning.
Thank you for coming out of the bullpen.
No sweat.
And, so here we go. Looking forward to chopping it up with you for the next couple of hours. And, man, tomorrow, game day. I know that we've had Thursday night football for a long time. But I'm telling you, every single time that the Broncos play one of these Thursday games, they kind of sneak up on me, and it's a reminder how much I love Thursday night football games. The fact that we get to turn around, put the Raider game right behind us, and jump right into another game tomorrow night is awesome.
Oh, no doubt. And it's exactly what the doctor ordered for the Broncos, right? Coming off the disappointing loss in Vegas. A game that, man, especially after you see what the Niners did to the Rams, that win over San Francisco looks better and better. And then they had this great opportunity to move to 3-1 to bury the Raiders, and they blow it. They just go out there and lay an egg. The quicker you can turn the page, the better. So the fact that they're back on the field tomorrow playing a banged up Colts team that isn't playing well, they can right the ship in a hurry. By the same token, though, Mike, if they lose tomorrow night to Matt Ryan and an offense that probably won't have Jonathan Taylor, and if he does play, he won't be completely healthy. If they lose tomorrow, man, that is a long 11 days until they play again against the Chargers. So it is it's a big game. It's a pivotal game. It's too early to say it's a must-win game. But boy, it almost kind of feels like it heading into Thursday night football.
Well, it does, because you look at these games, and in the early part of the season, we all agreed early part of the season, the first eight games, that this was the time to really set yourself up. And I don't know about you, my feeling was 5-3 at an absolute minimum.
Yep.
I feel bad. RIP, your 7-game 7-1 at the bye. That was a bold prediction, Cotton. Let's see how that strategy plays out. But that dream died hard. But I agree with you, because anytime if you don't win one of these games that you should win for all the reasons you just mentioned. Now you got to go out and you got to win a game that is unexpected, that you have to pull off an upset. And I think you already put yourself in a position when you lost to Seattle to have to pick off one of those type of wins down the road. You'd have to do it again if you lose this one. So all the circumstances, short week at home, Indy banged up, Indy going through a lot of their same issues with Matt Ryan, like Russell Wilson is trying to get going with a new team. You got to take advantage of it. You absolutely have to.
Yeah, and you know, not only the 5-3 that you talked about at the bye, I really think they need to be 8-3 heading into that last six game stretch. I mean, they could play really good football in the last six games and still go 3-3. I mean, it's brutal. So if you're 8-3 at that point, going 3-3, you end up at 11-6. Okay, well, the road to 8-3 is pretty difficult if you're 2-3 after five games.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty difficult right now anyway that you've already got two. But, you know, the schedule is still pretty softer at the beginning. You've got the Jets coming up. You do have the Jags, and they look better. But that's one, when you look at the schedule at the beginning of the season, seems winnable. So this is one you have to have, because this early stretch, other than having to go to L.A. and play the Chargers, there's not a game on there where you look at it and say, man, that's going to be a tough mission. So this is the kind of game, though, you just can't afford to drop. Because if you drop this one, you're right. Where do you make up for it? Okay, well, you got to win at Tennessee. Okay, that's maybe doable. Or do you have to win at Baltimore? that becomes a little more difficult in December. Or heaven forbid, you look at it and say, oh, now you got to win in Kansas City late in the year. We all know how difficult that is and that's going to be. So you just can't afford to drop it, and it's setting up. And I'm, you know, reading your column at the moment, Mike, it's setting up to be a Disney movie for Melvin Gordon. It really is. And if it was anything other than a short week, it probably would be a different scenario. But the Broncos don't have a lot of options, and there's Melvin Gordon with a chance after being the GOAT to be the hero on Thursday Night Football. It sets up to be a great, potentially great story tomorrow night at Empower.
Yeah, I just – and it goes beyond looking at the standings and when you talk about placing importance on this win. I look at it as – I think a lot of us were okay and were prepared to be patient at the beginning of the season. We understood a lot of changes, a lot of newness – further compounded by how they treated the preseason. So I think we were all on board with the idea that we're looking at a soft launch to this season, okay? Especially on the offensive side of the ball. But at some point, you just got to start to show signs that you can roll and put together a run. And I don't want to see the Broncos be put in a situation with Russell Wilson like they found themselves in with Peyton Manning his first year. Remember, they were 2-3 after their first five. And the Broncos right now are saying 2-2. A loss would drop them to 2-3. So the optimist could still say, hey, you're on the same exact trend, the same exact road that you were with Peyton Manning in his first season. Ah, but the big difference with that is that after that loss, they never looked back. They never lost the rest of the way. And do you want to be putting yourself in a situation where if you lose tomorrow night, you're like, okay, so now you're going to copy history, repeat history, and go on that kind of a run? That would be asking a lot. Make your life a lot easier. Just go out and win tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, look, it would not only would they be 2-3, but they would be 2-3 heading into a Monday night game at the Chargers. The exact same.
Exactly. Exactly.
Back then,
right? How about that?
Which is a little spooky, honestly.
Isn't it? Yes, it kind of is.
But, and, you know, I've been saying this for a few months when everybody brings up that comparison. The situations are so different, though. I mean, Peyton Manning hadn't played in almost 2 years. He had four neck surgeries. He had to learn to rethrow the football. Russell Wilson didn't go through any of those kind of things. And that 2-3 start included losses to Atlanta, who started 8-0. They were the last undefeated team. Houston, who went 12-4. And at New England. If the Broncos start 2-3 this year, it's going to be losses to Seattle. Could very well have a top 10 pick, right? I mean, not a very good team. The Raiders, who were 0-3 at the time, and the Colts, who were 1-2-1 at the time, not all 2-3 starts are created equally. So I think this would be brutal. I'm not in that camp of ready to be patient. I guess maybe I'm just over being patient with this team. And it's, 2015 seems like eons ago. It wouldn't put them in a place where, hey, they're out of it. But boy, this 2-3 would feel a lot different than that 2-3 in my
mind. Yeah, it's time to start rolling here a little bit. So even though you're filling in already, somebody has dubbed our show here this morning and has given us a name.
All right.
Chicken Little in the Tugboat. Now that's got a ring to it. James Merrillat.
Sounds like a children's book.
James Merrillat sitting in. Coming up, is it a big test for Nathaniel Hackett? You talk about all the tests that Nathaniel Hackett and his staff have to pass. Is he facing another one tomorrow night? Explain why next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Steak off today. He'll be back on Friday. Doing some national television stuff this week with Fox Sports. That at least is what he told me, because James Merrillat's sitting in this morning. Texter brings up a good point. Is he doing TV or is he doing something else? As a texter says, I guess good landscapers that will work under the cover of darkness and sign an ironclad NDA are hard to find, right, Stank?
What do you mean?
So he's out there. Yeah, some people think conspiracy theory that he's actually out interviewing potential new landscapers. So anyway, James Merrillat sitting in. James, we got a text, and it said this, and I love the texters. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1010.
Now, this is the 6 a.m. text.
This is the 6 a.m. text. The best of the bunch,
yeah,
okay?
So this is a different realm.
You haven't had a lot of exposure to the 6 a.m. texters.
No.
And trust me when I tell you, these are the best listeners on the fan for the entire day, bar none. So here you go. Newness is an excuse people are making for Nathaniel Hackett and Russ. Miami had that same newness. They look great. Well, yes, they have the newness with the new coach, but they do still have some continuity with the quarterback. The quarterback's been there for a while, and there is newness here. At what point does the newness stop being new?
Well, in terms of when it should be an excuse, I think it stopped being a viable excuse really after week one. I mean, and part of the reason is because of how the Broncos handled the offseason. So not only just training camp, not only the preseason, but Mike, I go all the way back to, hey, we're going to spend one of our three mini camp days when everybody has to be here, and we're going to have field day. Okay, you're telling me at that point by doing that we don't have any more work to do. We're good. We got it. We're dialed in. We're on schedule. Okay, well, then when you come out at the beginning of the year, and clearly that isn't the case, and this is a team that does have a lot of things to still figure out, I'm sitting there saying, well, hey, you told all of us that you didn't need any time. So I think the newness excuse is gone. But is the reality that this is still some newness and that it's just a bunch of guys that are getting on the same page? Yeah, probably. That probably is really what's going on. But, you know, I also think Mike McDaniel walked into a situation where he has, you know, not only Tua, who had been there, but Jalen Waddle and then Tyreek Hill. That's two weapons that the Broncos don't have anybody in that, even in close to being in that category. So that's a big difference, too. I think one of the things that's adding to this newness is the supporting cast around Russell Wilson has been just greatly overvalued and overestimated. Cortland Sutton would be a really good number two. He's a middle of the road number one receiver, maybe. And then everybody else, find me another guy on this offense that is a Pro Bowl caliber player. There aren't any, so I think that's part of the issue too. I think newness is for the most part an excuse at this point.
So wait a minute. So I know this whole field day thing still bugs you.
Oh, it eats at me.
Yeah, okay, but here's – so you're telling me that if they had chosen to work that day back in May
– Let it go,
but
man.
Then did the same exact thing in training camp with jog-throughs and not having any of their players play in the preseason, that would have been okay.
No, but it all adds up, right? It's not only the field day portion of it. That was just the first step. But then it was, hey, one out of every 3 days in training camp is going to be a regen day, going to be a jog through. Okay, that's telling everybody, you know, we don't need to hit. We don't need to be physical. We don't need to do the things that football teams for ages have done, that all the former players on the station talked about and said, I've never seen a football practice without 7-on-7 or whatever it was. Okay, you're smarter than everybody, Nathaniel Hackett. You don't need to do that. You don't need to play in the preseason. All those things are factors. And you know what? Field day is probably dead last on the list, but it was the start of it. It was the first message that they delivered to everybody of we're on track. We're fine. We don't need to work. We've got this dialed in, and clearly they don't. So when you do those kind of things, though, I think it eliminates the excuse and the free pass of it takes some time. Well, okay, that would be fine if you used every possible moment to get ready and you still weren't ready at the start of the season. Well, that's because of the newness factor. That's because it's going to take some time. When you didn't use every possible moment and then you're not ready at the start of the season, to some extent that's on you as the head coach. And look, field day, and I know people don't want to hear about it, it's not the biggest factor, but it's on the list of factors, and it's all part of what is added up here to not a lot of runway for excusing the fact that this team's starting off slow.
Yes, and here we go. We all get a chance to now be Captain Hindsight, and we look very smart in saying it. But no, Nathaniel Hackett's preseason strategy was an abject failure. It just was, not only because the team offensively wasn't ready to go, and boy, we have seen the growing pains that at least could have been mitigated by going out and having your regulars play in the preseason and the injuries, cutting a swath of destruction through this Broncos roster with all the injuries. So much for that as well. But hey, they'll be fresh come December. Not sure if they'll even be alive come December, but they're going to be fresh. The guys that will be there will be fresh because of how they handled the preseason. But here's the thing then. Because this is a big test. When you go through the boxes that a new coach and a new coaching staff has to be able to check, I would say being able to handle a short week like this is certainly one of the top ones, especially when it comes this early in the season, because it is a week unlike any other week during an NFL season. And for a coaching staff that has had all kinds of game management, prep issues, boy, I don't know if it bothered you as much as it bothered me or bothered Bronco fans out there, but when I heard Nathaniel Hackett after the game Sunday say, boy, you got to give credit to the Raiders. They had a plan. It was a good plan on the ground, and boy, they stuck with it. And all the while, I'm hearing that going, you know, as a coach, you are allowed to make adjustments during the game. You are able to change things so that maybe you can get them to deviate from their plan. Instead, they run the ball down the Broncos' throats, and after the game, the coach is saying, hey, man, tip your cap, great plan.
Mistakes here. We have happy accidents.
Not what I want to hear, so I'm wondering where your confidence level is. I guess I'll throw it out to everybody out there on the 6 a.m. listener text line. Where's your confidence that Nathaniel Hackett and this coaching staff can handle this week?
Well, it depends on which side of the ball. I don't have a ton of confidence in Nathaniel Hackett and the offense. I don't. I mean, they're averaging, 16 points a game? There's not a lot of reason to have a lot of faith in that group. I do think the defense will be better because they had been really, really good until they laid an egg in Vegas. They had been. And that was the most surprising part of Sunday's loss. That was the most disappointing part, because that was the side of the ball that looked like they had, you know, kind of turned the corner. And now in that game, it looked just like the Vic Fangio era where they couldn't get off the field late in the game and all that kind of stuff. So I do think Idro Evero deserves the benefit of the doubt that he'll get that side fixed. But Mike, this is another example of this coaching staff being the smartest guys in the room, right? They started preparing for the short week last week, and I think that impacted their preparation for the Raider game. And they weren't ready to go, but okay, let's see if it paid off. Let's see if they're fresher on a short week.
Well, you have to do that. You have to do that.
Do you?
Yeah, you do. No, you have to. Come on.
So you just sacrifice the Raiders game. No.
You're just working over. Come on, James. You know you cover this league long enough to know that you have to put in some prep when you're going to be turning around and having that quick of a game.
As a coaching staff, but not in terms of how you handle your players. Not in terms of how hard you go in practice and what you do. You don't start spacing it out and saying, hey, we got to spread things out. I think that's a miss. The coaches put in extra hours in game plan for another team, but that also looked like a team that didn't know if they were playing the Colts or the Raiders on Sunday.
All right. We got the Morning Brew coming up next. James Marilat sitting in for Stink. Russell Wilson gives us an update. Latavius Murray lets us know whether or not he can play a big role tomorrow night. That's coming up next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Doing good, hanging in there. I think you play a competitive game. You get banged up a couple times here and there, but I'm excited. Obviously Thursday night. What a special time. What an opportunity for us.
Everything is awesome.
Russell Wilson giving us the thumbs up for tomorrow night. Not that we were ever really, I was never really concerned. James Marilat saying in for Stink this morning. And James, man, at some point, this offense has to take a big leap forward. We can't keep measuring the growth of this offense with the incremental one step forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back type process that we've seen and gone through these first few weeks. But unlikely, right? You can't really expect the breakthrough to come tomorrow night with a short week, with some of the injuries, with Russ a little bit banged up. I think we still have to look for, at least for one more week, baby steps on offense, right?
Yes and no. I mean, it's a short week for the Colts too, right? So their preparation for Denver is going to be limited. So I don't know that I necessarily totally buy that excuse. The other part of it is, I do think it's what's lost in the loss at Vegas was the offense played much better. I mean, 23 points is
for a half.
Yeah, but 23 points isn't off the charts, but that's better than they've been. And Russell Wilson in the first half was 11 of 12, 149 yards and what, a touchdown? Maybe two. So he played his best game, I think, as a Bronco, even though his numbers in Seattle were better. So there have been signs and there have been things you can look at and say, all right, that's a positive. If you go back and string together the last drive against San Francisco and the first half against Vegas, that was a pretty good stretch. Now, they came out after halftime and were just dreadful. And, you know, Justin Outen got up there yesterday and had his, you know, laundry list of excuses as to why. Of, oh, we were pinned back in our own territory. And like, oh, okay, well, you're the first team to ever have that situation.
Right.
So I don't buy any of that. But I think they have every opportunity to be better tomorrow night.
But the big breakout, the big leap forward that we're looking for and expecting to happen at some point, I think we're just going to have to put it on hold for at least one more week next on the Morning Brew.
Look, I mean, there was a lot of conversation around this team, a lot of conversation around this division in the offseason. And so, you know, I think it's a, you know, I heard nothing but great things about the locker room. I'm obviously in it right now. So far, everything is what I've been told. And so I'm just excited to be here. I'm excited to go to work and bring another chip back.
Latavius Murray introduced to all of us yesterday. Interesting, James, because the Broncos signed him off the Saints practice squad, but it wasn't like a trade where Murray didn't have any say in it. He could have stayed with the Saints. The Saints wanted him to stay. He chose the Broncos. This despite being the Saints' leading rusher just a few days ago in London. So what does that tell you, that Latavius Murray chose the Broncos over the Saints?
Well, yeah, it is interesting, and he was finally getting his opportunity there. He will be one of the few players to, and maybe the only player to ever play two games in London.
Right?
If he's still here in 4 weeks, which I imagine
I think
will
he
be.
Will be, yes.
And it's a good addition. Now, I don't expect him to be out there tomorrow other than maybe a play or two, because, you know, there does need to be some ramp-up time. But if we, you know, we were all throwing out names when we heard Javonte Williams was injured. I don't think any of us really thought somebody of Latavius Murray's sort of history and experience and track record would be the option. So that's a good addition by the Broncos. I think he's somebody that if we don't get the Disney movie tomorrow night with Melvin Gordon and it becomes officially time to move on, Latavius Murray could be in the mix 11 days later in a big way against the Chargers.
Yeah, I think he looked at it and said, well, Alvin Kamara will be back at some point for the Saints.
Right,
and
exactly.
There I am blocked, whereas here, hey, Melvin Gordon is on very, very thin ice. I very easily could be RB1 by the time the Broncos go out to play the Chargers on Monday night. Next on the Morning Brew.
Pure energy. Pure energy.
Looking at our entire team, we haven't played our best football as a team in all three phases, you know, whether it be defense, special teams, or offense. I think that there's still so much more to improve on. All the guys are getting used to each other, and that's just something that we're going to have to continue to grow, and the best football's still ahead.
Oh, jeez. Coach, you got to start at some point. I love the optimism, but at some point, it can't just be at a future date. In the future, come December, our best days are ahead of us. Broncos country needs to see it now.
What a queen!
Yeah. I mean, they're not having these issues in Miami, as you brought up. Kevin O'Connell, not having these issues in Minnesota. So it's just one of those things where it's like, I get it. And I to some extent, the rational part of my brain understands it. But also just the person who's been suffering watching this team for the last 5 or 6 years doesn't want to hear it. I don't want to buy it. It's, hey, you've got Russell Wilson. You're an offensive guru, supposedly. This needs to look better and be better. I don't want to hear, trust us, down the road, it's going to be different. It's going to click. Nope, it needs to click. It needs to click now. It needed to click a couple of weeks ago. But at this point, there is no tomorrow. It needs to be today.
No excuses.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Like I said, I feel like guys were just kind of
pressing and trying to do too much or expecting one thing, you know what I mean, and stuff like that, and just not being fully locked in. I honestly feel like I was one of those guys kind of pressing and trying to do too much, and it's a division game, so I'm trying to make that big play and thinking it's play action, but I get out my gap and boom, it hits right there.
Wow, so Bradley Chubb, in explaining what went wrong run defense against the Raiders, said that they were just over-aggressive, wanted it too much, pressing.
What?
For an entire game?
Well, and Ejiro
Maybe Evero, early on, but for an entire game?
Ejiro Evero spoke about this when he was in front of the media yesterday and talked about how, you know, essentially, hey, everybody just needs to do their job, right? He was channeling Bill Belichick with that, but it did come across this. We were freelancing. Well, Bradley Chubb just admitted it. He just admitted he was. He was, you know, biting on play action, trying to go make a play, and then the run would come right at him. I'm with you. I could see that early in a game, but after you get beat by it a couple of times and Josh Jacobs just runs for another first down, at some point you say, okay, I gotta be more disciplined here. I got to stick with my assignment. The Broncos seem to be doing it the entire game, and in particular, it's 25-23, 7 minutes to go. You have to get the Raiders off the field or, at worst, hold them to a field goal. And they did all the things that Bradley Chubb is talking about there, including a David Carr scramble, a Derek Carr scramble that really did kill him on third down. So that's one of those things, though, Mike, that I hear that. I get it. But that's also a sign of a poorly coached team. But you go out and you freelance for an entire game and there's no fear of repercussions of that. That's concerning.
Yeah, and it's not just the failure to make adjustments in the defense and the run game. Yeah, Russell Wilson and the offense had a really sharp first half, and then they came out in the second half, and the first four drives was a five-play drive, and then three and outs, and adjustments. Being prepared for what the other team is going to throw at you is just the same as adjusting to fix what the team did to you in the first half, and I hate to say it. Ooh, this is going to be fingers down the chalkboard for everybody, but Josh McDaniels outcoached Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep.
On Sunday. I hate to say that, but it is a fact, and now Nathaniel Hackett and his staff will get another shot to turn around and outduel Frank Reich and his staff tomorrow night. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Coming up, I threw the question out about the faith, the trust in Nathaniel Hackett got a lot of response. And James has been mentioning the potential Disney movie, Fairy Tale, tomorrow night. We'll explain what that's all about next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Stink off today. James Merrill had seen in for the first half of the show. Nate Jackson will join us coming up at 7:30. So, James, a couple times today, you have referenced the potential Hollywood-esque, Disney-esque scenario that could play out tomorrow night. And you, as being the chief editor at DenverFan.com, perhaps you want to explain what that's all about.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Melvin Gordon is the GOAT in this town and not the good version, right?
Right.
He's the guy that is, public enemy number one. When he fumbled against the Raiders and it turned into a touchdown going the other direction, social media just exploded, myself included, with people saying, that's it, time to part ways, time to cut Melvin Gordon, time to move on. They're over it. And really, he's never been embraced in this town from the get-go. People thought his two-year, $16 million deal was too much money. He was coming in to take Philip Lindsay's job, the hometown hero. He had issues off the field. He's had fumbling problems. Like, he's actually been a pretty good back here with the Broncos, a couple of 900-yard seasons. You know, he gets in the end zone a lot. You would think people would say, hey, he's a good football player. That's not the perception here in this town. They wanted Philip Lindsay. They wanted Javonte Williams. Nobody wants Melvin Gordon. And then he goes out and does what he did Sunday in Vegas. And now everybody wants him out of town.
Not everybody.
The Broncos don't have a choice.
Exactly.
They have to play Melvin Gordon on Thursday.
Exactly. And if I may promote the column that I wrote that you just posted at DenverVan.com. And it was not designed for clickbait, but I know that the title, the headline is going to get some people riled up. And it's my headline. You didn't put this. This is not yours.
This is
my headline that I passed along to James. Broncos country needs to rally around Melvin Gordon on Thursday. Now, I Hey, I've already been labeled a Melvin Gordon apologist. I've already been labeled the president of the Melvin Gordon fan club. Stink loves to give me grief about it. So I might as well just double down, right? I might as well just push all chips in, right? But, yeah, I think that we know this is a crowd that is impatient right now. Boy, have we seen it in the first couple of home games. This is not a patient Broncos fan base. And no. And by the way, I love them for that. I admire them, and I think it's awesome. And for the folks are out there that are like, you should never boo your team. You should always support your team. No, 1,000 times no. You as a fan, you have every right to love your team today and hate them tomorrow. You have to hold them accountable.
Well, the other option is you're the Rockies fans.
Correct. And yeah. So we don't want that. So that said, I have no doubt that a lot of Bronco fans are going to be going to that game tomorrow night prepared to boo Melvin Gordon the moment he touches the ball. I think this is a situation where you need to rally around him. I think you have to look at the uniqueness of the situation that because of the Javonte Williams injury and because of the short week, you have no real other options. And this is a scenario I threw out in the column, and I'll pose this to everybody. What is the bigger risk? What is the bigger gamble you're willing to take? The idea that Melvin Gordon puts the ball on the ground again, or you have a Latavius Murray or a Mike Boone who is supposed to zig when they're supposed to zag, and they end up allowing a free blitzer to come through and take a shot, a crippling shot at your $250 million quarterback? Let me ask you, which gamble are you willing to take? Of course you're willing to take the gamble of Melvin Gordon putting the ball on the ground. The other thing is that one thing we've seen with Melvin Gordon, man, it is weird. But this guy, despite being an all-world professional athlete, man, this guy has problems with competition. He had problems competing with Danny Woodhead and Austin Eckler in Chargerland. He's had issues dealing with Philip Lindsay and Javonte Williams here. But guess what? That is removed for tomorrow night. There'll be no real competition. He will be the guy right from the get-go. He'll have a chance to get early carries. He won't have to wait till there's 3 minutes left in the second quarter to get his first carry. He'll get carries early. He'll get into a rhythm. He'll be given every opportunity to have a big game. You know that he knows he's playing for his Bronco career tomorrow night, so he's going to run like a man possessed. I think this is a situation where Broncos country, at least for tomorrow night, needs to rally around Melvin Gordon. And then after tomorrow night, all bets are off.
They need to rally around him. I don't know that they will. But look, nobody wants him on the field tomorrow night. Nobody.
No.
Broncos country doesn't. The Broncos don't. They showed that in Vegas when he stood on the sideline for 70 minutes of real time. Before he got in the game and in his first carry, he fumbled. It was the Javonte Williams show. It wasn't what it had been the first 3 weeks where they alternated drives and they basically split carries. The Broncos did not want him on the field, so nobody wants him out there tomorrow, but they have no choice. But he is a good football player, believe it or not, and I know people don't want to hear that, but he is. So it turns into a Disney movie when he goes out there and everybody's ready to boo him, and he rushes for 120 yards and a couple of touchdowns and helps him win a game. That's a Disney movie. So that's the one extreme. That's what I think everybody should hope for and root for, and you're right, rally around him. The other extreme, Mike, is he goes out there and on the second carry, he fumbles. And that place is going to go bonkers tomorrow night.
Yes.
If that happens, and Nathaniel Hackett, Justin Outen, Russell Wilson, they'll have no other choice but to continue to put him out there, because we saw Sunday against the Raiders, Mike Boone whiff on a blitz. And Russell Wilson take a hit, right? So it's like, well, do you trust him? And you want him out there? And Latavius Murray, who just got here, they have no option. They have to rely on Melvin Gordon. Look, it's the week to introduce the offense, but I suggest the Broncos maybe change things up, because Melvin Gordon will get booed during pregame introductions and then have to go out there and try to have his best game as a Bronco, because not only is his time in Denver on the line, there was no market for Melvin Gordon, oddly, during the offseason. So if he lays an egg tomorrow and the Broncos part ways with him, where is he going to land? I mean, it is such an intriguing storyline and a crazy situation given the short week and everything that goes into it. It's fascinating. I'm rooting for the Disney movie, obviously, as a Broncos fan and just sort of as a human being who has a little compassion.
But you have compassion?
It will be fascinating to watch. You talked about how he doesn't like competition, and I think you're right. But look, everybody's different. You've coached, right? Some kids you got to kick in the behind, and some kids you constantly have to put your arm around them and encourage them. That's Melvin Gordon. So, okay, we can all complain that that's not how he should be, but that's how he is. So the Broncos need to love him up and get him out there and have him help them win a game, because he's going to be vital to their chances against the Colts.
Mike Kliss shared this on Twitter last night. He said, in 2014 versus Nebraska, Badgers running back Melvin Gordon had 144 yards rushing but had lost two fumbles early in the second quarter. The coach was going to bench him, but Gordon talked him into giving him one more chance. Gordon finished with an NCAA record 408 yards rushing in that game. So there's that.
Wow. Are we expecting a 408 tomorrow? I mean, that'd be something.
That'd be
408 yards?
408. Against Nebraska.
Man.
Wow.
It could be the battle of Wisconsin backs if Jonathan Taylor's ready to go.
And he is still saying, publicly that he's holding out hope that he can play. We shall see about that. Okay, James Merrillat sitting in. We got four down territory coming up next. We'll also get to your reaction on the text line, you great 6 a.m. listeners, as to where the confidence level is in Nathaniel Hackett heading into this short game week tomorrow night. That's all coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.